Hi, everyone. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford. He's Wes Hodkowitz. We're coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And, Wes, we're up to our fifth and final installment of Peak Performances, which has a video, text story, a poll for fans to vote for their favorite on Packers.com. And this final installment is the Peak Performances from the postseason. And obviously the Packers getting two victories in the playoffs before falling in the NFC Championship in Atlanta. And really it starts with two guys from the wild card game against the New York Giants, wide receiver Randall Cobb and quarterback Aaron Rodgers, both highlighted here for peak performances. And you talk about the way the Packers offense overcame a sluggish start. Both of these guys had something to do with it. Randall Cobb catching the Hail Mary at the end of the first half, Aaron Rodgers being the one who threw it. But then they also connect on two touchdown passes in the second half. A really big game from both of these guys.
Well, this also was a reminder, Mike, of what Randall Cobb can do when he's healthy. And, you know, he runs a scramble drill so well with Aaron Rodgers two times, you know, being able to connect off of that. Also sneaking behind the huddle on the Hail Mary for the third converted Hail Mary in the last 13 months. Just remarkable in being able to do that. Really a big loss that really was demoralizing, I was trying to say, for the Giants, and that the Packers able to go into the halftime with that momentum, I think really propelled them forward in that game. And let's keep in mind, Mike, I mean, Randall had missed the last two games before that due to the ankle injury. People really weren't sure what to expect. He was a game-time decision again. The Packers send him out on the field, and he comes up in a big way.
Yeah, Cobb's work on that Hail Mary was impressive because gave the defender, I believe it was Hall.
Leon Hall.
Yeah, gave him kind of a shove there in the middle of the pile. Not sure if the officials even saw it or if they did. They obviously let it go and cleared just enough space for that ball to fall into his arms as he, you know, worked the footwork just right, too, to make sure he stayed in bounds and got that knee in bounds as he fell to the ground. But as you said, that was a huge momentum shift for the Packers in that game. The catch was made not far from where Hakeem Nicks had caught in the end of the first half Hail Mary against the Packers in the playoffs 5 years earlier. And really, for the offense to overcome five consecutive punts to start the game, everybody was wondering, okay, where did this Packers offense from the end of the regular season go? What is happening here? Jordy Nelson leaves the game, taking the shot to the ribs along the sideline, and Aaron Rodgers and kind of snaps out of it and ends up throwing for four touchdown passes, three of them to Cobb, which tied an NFL postseason record and a franchise postseason record. Rodgers ends up with a 125.2 passer rating, which is the third highest in the playoffs of his career, after starting the game just 6 out of 14.
Right, and that was probably the thing that was the most impressive about this win, Mike, is the fact that all that production came after Jordy Nelson left. When he took that shot from Leon Hall, suffered the broken ribs, leaves the game, the Packers were really struggling at that point. The offense was in the middle of its kind of not being able to find a rhythm and just kind of in a muck. Well, as it turns out, he leaves, and then things start moving a little bit. You get Jared Cook going. You got Randall Cobb with some big explosive plays, and also Davante Adams coming up big with 125 yards and a touchdown. Exactly what you needed when the Packers didn't have the guy who had been Rodgers' most consistent target, most reliable and durable target throughout the course of the year on the field.
Yeah, to go over the numbers, Randall Cobb, 5 catches for 116 yards, as I said, with 3 of those 5 catches going for touchdowns to tie a league playoff record. And Aaron Rodgers tying his own franchise playoff record with 4 touchdowns in a postseason game. He had done that in his first postseason game of his career in Arizona in the 2009 wild card game. So the Packers offense comes alive, and when you look at it from the scoreboard and the clock standpoint, 38 points over the final 34 minutes of the game against a defense in the New York Giants that was awfully good.
Yeah, it was. And they were good in that first matchup with Green Bay, too. I mean, the Packers ultimately won it, but, you know, they had to work for it. And in this particular contest, when you do have that many negative yards and just not being able to get the ball moving the first few series, it was also incumbent on the defense to step up, and it certainly did that in being able to slow Eli Manning down early on. But once the Packers' offense got ignited, it was difficult to stop. Jake Shum only being used one more time the rest of the game after the Packers scored their first touchdown with a little bit more than 2 minutes left in the first half. It was exactly how they needed to respond when they didn't have one of their big leaders on the field for everybody else to kind of rally around Rodgers and find a way to get the offense moving.
Yeah, and you had mentioned the game that Adams had, and it was a 30-plus yard pass down the right sideline there to Adams from Rodgers that kind of got everything going. It was after a nice stop by the defense and a good punt return put the Packers in good position, and then everything kind of got rolling from there.
Yeah, and unfortunately, when you look at the Giants' perspective, they lost Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie. He exits, so much like that first game against Green Bay where they were kind of banged up in their secondary, it happened again, and the Packers were able to take advantage of it.
Definitely. Well, we've got more peak performances from the playoffs to talk about, back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford here, Wes Hodkiewicz there, and Wes, moving on to some peak performances from the Dallas playoff game in the divisional round. Defensive back Micah Hyde. We talked in our most recent shows about the strong finish that Hyde had to the regular season. He gets an interception against Seattle, gets an interception on a first-half Hail Mary in Chicago, breaks up the pass at the goal line in Chicago, then has an interception at the goal line in Detroit. And boy, he carried it over here into these playoffs. He's voted a playoff captain technically on special teams,
right,
but where he really shined in this game was on defense. He gets an early sack of Dak Prescott, breaks up a deep ball over the middle to Bryce Butler, and then the play everyone's going to remember. He jumps the wide receiver screen in the third quarter when the Cowboys are in the red zone, picks off Prescott, and returns it a handful of yards to put the Packers in good position. Really just a solid, solid all-around performance defensively by Micah Hyde.
If anybody asks me, Mike, to sum up Micah Hyde as a football player, who he is, what he represents, how he goes about his job, I would bring up that play for here probably until the end of his career. He could have six more Pro Bowls in his career, and I think that's the play that perfectly sums him up, because it's not a gimme. And it made it look so easy, but
yeah,
there's so much work that goes into being able to pull off a play like that. There's so much film study, so much recognition. And also, give him credit, there's a little bit of a gamble there as well to jump out and really put yourself out there, because if he doesn't get it, if the ball does get past him, well, kind of like a fast break in basketball, Dallas has numbers going the other way. There's two or three guys, skill position players out there with, I think, really only Ladarius Gunter on that side of the field. But Hyde jumps it, picks off the pass, too. I mean, think about it, Mike. How many times have we seen throughout the course of the season, not just Green Bay, but the NFL, when guys get a beat on the ball but just can't pull it in, end
right
up knocking it down?
Right.
That was a point in the game in which the Packers needed to turn the momentum. They needed to stop Prescott, and Micah Hyde did it in a big way. The best stretch of his career, honestly. And he's had some good moments for the Packers and some really, really big-time performances, but that play against Dallas was just another one in a really good stretch for him.
Yeah, four interceptions in six games there, including the end of the regular season and the postseason. And personally, you can't help but feel good for a guy like Micah Hyde when he makes a play like that, especially since his career, his playoff career, began with the game against the 49ers at Lambeau Field, where he had potentially a game-changing, game-winning, maybe, interception in his hands from Colin Kaepernick in the fourth quarter. Not an easy catch, but one that he feels he should have made. A lot of people believe that he could have made it. He was very frustrated after that game when the Packers lost. To see him get this interception in Dallas, which then helped the Packers get a big victory, the San Francisco one was on my mind when I saw that.
Yeah, and I think, and you, I don't want to speak for you, but I think anybody in this locker room, that from a media perspective, appreciates the way that Micah Hyde is handled all of this since the beginning. And something that really stands out to me that gave me an idea of the kind of guy we would be dealing with is after the 2013 season and after that game against San Francisco, I actually called Micah a few months later and did a story about him making the conversion to safety. He didn't tip his hand at all. He didn't give me anything. But, you know, I was basically, that was the gist of my story. And I asked him about that play and that. And, you know, and I was letting him off the hook. I'm like, you know, that's a difficult play to make. And Micah said, without even skipping a beat, no, you have to make that play.
Yeah.
The top players in this league make that play. And that, you're right. When you think back to San Francisco and what he did in this playoff run, those are the kind of memories that come back to the surface a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. Another performance, top performance from the Dallas playoff game, tight end Jared Cook. We've talked, obviously, plenty about the impact he made on the offense in this game. 6 catches for 104 yards and a touchdown, his second 100-yard game of the season. And before the big catch at the end of the fourth quarter that everyone will remember, in the third quarter, a 26-yard pass against one-on-one coverage down the right sideline, and then the very next play, a 3-yard touchdown. He kind of finishes off a touchdown drive all by himself with those last 2 catches, and at a time that the Packers really needed a touchdown to stay in control of the ball game.
And, Mike, keep in mind, and I don't have to remind you, but Jordy Nelson's not out there.
Yep.
This is the only game this year where the Packers had to play without him. There were some games where he had to play through some injuries, but they did not have him on the field. This is where Jared Cook needed to produce, because if you think about it, Cook's the only one on the field that really has the same kind of attributes as Nelson. A little bit taller, obviously playing different positions, but can be used in the same way. A big guy that could play the boundary, the slot, wherever you need him to be. Cook played a phenomenal contest in this thing. Certainly, as you mentioned, that drive, finishing that off, getting in the red zone, getting in the end zone. We saw a lot of that during training camp, but those touchdowns actually really didn't come for him as much during the regular season. They were there in the playoffs. And then, obviously, what can you say about the way they finished the thing? The biggest catch of the Packers' season, probably one of the most difficult as well, right along the sideline, and propelled the Green Bay into the NFC Championship game.
Yeah, Rodgers scrambling to his left, gets the extra block from Lane Taylor there and fires a seed right along the sideline. And Jared Cook, just perfect footwork to keep his toes in bounds, keep his concentration on the ball, hauls it in. And after review, it was really one look at the instant replay, and it was like, oh, he was in bounds. And when a lot of people thought initially, like, oh, there's no way that he would have been in bounds on that, he's in bounds 36 yards. It sets up the kick to win the ball game. And, what a great finish to the season for Jared Cook.
Yeah, and it was just such an important catch, too. You, as he said afterwards, you have to catch it. You can't bobble it at all. You don't have the time. You don't have the space. That ball needs to be caught, because if it wiggles at all, that's where the referees upon review are going to look at it and say, hey, did he really have it?
Yep.
No, he left no doubt on that one.
Yeah, for sure. Well, with that, Wes, we'll throw it to another break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford joined by Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, we have one more peak performance from the playoffs to go. Before we mention that and talk about it, I want to run down some of the honorable mentions that unfortunately weren't able to make the top five. We had talked about Davante Adams' game against the New York Giants, 125 yards, 8 catches, and a touchdown. Julius Peppers had a very solid game against the New York Giants in that wild card round. And Jordy Nelson taking the field in Atlanta, coming back from the rib injury, playing with that extra padding, playing with the broken ribs, and performing as he did with a half dozen catches, including a touchdown. But you can't talk about peak performances in the playoffs and not mention Mason Crosby against the Dallas Cowboys. The 51-yard field goal at the gun to win it, the 56-yard field goal with a minute and a half to go that gave the Packers the lead, which the Cowboys then matched that with a 50-plus-yard field goal of their own. You could not ask for a kicker to be more clutch in that situation, not once but twice, and Mason Crosby came through with some long kicks.
Yeah, first off, I'm going to correct you on one thing. When you mentioned the honorable mentions for this, you know, peak performances of that stretch, you also have to put Jake Shum and Brett Goode in there, the long snapper and punter/holder.
All right.
I told Shum afterwards I would have botched it. I would have fumbled it. No doubt in my mind. I'm not mentally pressure. Tough enough. But here those three guys were, specifically Crosby. 150-yard field goal all season during the regular season. Just didn't have a lot of those opportunities.
Yeah.
And suddenly, in the last 1 minute, what was it, 33 seconds of the game, he had to make it from 50 yards, beyond 50 yards, three times, if you count when they tried to ice him. And he made them all. And continuing his record at the time, 23 consecutive playoff field goals
right.
made. Unbelievable. That's so difficult to do. And what Crosby showed in that moment was beyond anything I think I'd really seen. We saw him in Seattle, big-time field goal at the end of that game to push it over into overtime in 2014. But in this instance, 93,000 people inside Jerry World, AT&T Stadium, ice water in his veins, and, yeah. it, and he was so clutch. And at the end of the day, that is what got the Packers the NFC Championship game. As cool as the catch was for Jared Cook, if Mason Crosby doesn't convert there, if he doesn't come through, it's just a side note, and instead it ends up being a really remarkable run for the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, and it's something when you think when you look at Crosby's career, 10 years in the league, for a kicker who's been with one team and a team that's been in the playoffs as often as the Packers, over the course of his career, his number of game-winning attempts at the end of ball games, it actually hasn't been that many
yeah.
over the course of his career. And then here down the stretch in 2016, he has the kick against Chicago in the freezing cold at Soldier Field to win that one. And then he's got to hit these two 50-plus yarders. The 56-yarder, the longest postseason field goal in Packers history, the third longest postseason field goal in NFL history. And then the 51-yarder is the longest game winner in NFL playoff history. Just an incredible finish there for Mason Crosby, and the celebration on the field at AT&T Stadium was something to behold.
It was, and keep in mind, too, adding to a little bit of that emotion, the fact that Dan Bailey, after Crosby made his first one, Bailey came right back and hit a 52-yarder.
Yeah.
It sort of became this little bit of a kickoff, but as Jake Shum said afterwards, as Brett Goode said, they all looked at each other and they said, we're going to be fine. It's going to come down to us, it's going to come down to Mason, and we're going to win this football game. And they did. And Crosby, I mean, it's such a credit to him. Even though Jason Garrett tried to ice him, he just kept through with his normal process. He thought of that as an extra attempt. He didn't look at it as, well, I made it. That should be the end of the game. He looked at it as it was one extra stroke. Went back, got his driver out, hit another one, and the Packers got to their fourth NFC title game in 10 years. Pretty remarkable.
Yeah, well, with that, Wes, let's take care of some sponsor business here. We all know that Green Bay fans are the most devoted fans in the league, and that takes a lot of energy. So grab a warm bowl of Campbell's Chunky Soup. Its meaty goodness fuels the greatness of Packers fans everywhere. Try the delicious chunky beef with country vegetables. Just visit your local supermarket retailer and ask for Campbell's Chunky Soup, the hearty way to fuel your game, and the official soup partner of the Green Bay Packers. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. So, Wes, we talked about these five peak performances in the playoffs. Fans can go on Packers.com and vote for their favorite. To recap them quickly, Randall Cobb with three touchdown receptions against the Giants in the wild card round. Aaron Rodgers with four touchdown passes, including the Hail Mary with both guys, obviously, in the wild card round against the Giants. Micah Hyde with a sack, a deep pass breakup, and an interception against the Cowboys. Jared Cook with a 100-yard game and a touchdown against Dallas, and Mason Crosby with the 250-plus-yard field goals down the stretch in Dallas. What's your vote?
Well, I'm going to say Mason Crosby.
All right.
And for two other reasons that I didn't already discuss in the last segment. The first one is the 56-yarder with a minute 33 left. The game's tied at that point of the game, 28-28. If he misses that, not only does it take all the wind out of your sails, it also gives the Cowboys a really prime field position with a lot of time to work with for Dan Bailey to go down and hit a game winner.
Yeah.
That ends up just being a 52-yard to tie it. So credit to Crosby on that for coming up clutch. The other reason that goes into it, he's actually from Georgetown, Texas, about 3 hours away from Dallas. This was an emotional time for him because his family was there except for his brother Reese and his wife Brittany, who is battling cancer. Was actually wearing, you can go back and look at Evan Siegel's photos on Packers.com, wearing a blue wristband as he was kicking those field goals. There was a lot of emotion there for Mason Crosby with his entire family there other than his brother and sister-in-law. So for him to play at that level, to perform and be that tough, days after Aaron Rodgers talks about him being the best kicker in the NFL, I think there's a lot to be said for him and how he came up so clutch for the Packers when they really needed him to.
Yeah, that was quite a story with everything going on with his family at that time. I actually remember that week leading up to the Dallas game in our insider inbox, I had referenced the 48-yard field goal in the NFC Championship against Seattle, really the biggest kick of his career that a lot of people don't really remember because the Packers obviously lost that game. And I said, well, maybe he'll have another one here in the postseason that everyone will remember. And sure enough, it happened not just once but twice. I think that's a great pick. I will vote in this case for, I think, Randall Cobb against the New York Giants. 3 touchdown receptions. And not just because he tied the NFL postseason record and the Packers franchise postseason record with 3 touchdown catches in a game, but as we talked about, the Packers needed somebody else to really step up with Jordy Nelson leaving that game early with the rib injury. Devontae Adams also had a very good game, but Cobb catching that Hail Mary seemed to really spark everything for Green Bay. And then in the second half for him to catch 2 more touchdown passes from Aaron Rodgers. I thought it was a very impressive performance from a player who had just come back from injury, had been dealing with different injuries off and on really throughout the year, and really came up big when the Packers needed him.
Yeah, you want to see what Randall Cobb's all about. Look at that performance. And the fact is, you know, he dealt with a lot this year, a lot of adversity, 60 catches, 610 yards, and 4 touchdowns, and then he ends up having 3 in that game alone. It epitomized Randall Cobb and what he stands for and really what his value is to this offense. I mean, you look at how many times he's come up so clutch for the Packers, thinking back to the 13 NFC Championship, North Championship game against the Bears. He's always there, and Aaron Rodgers has the ultimate trust in him.
Yeah, no question about it. And another one of those guys, like we talked about with Micah Hyde, a guy that is easy to root for, you know, is really good with us in the locker room as reporters, always a guy that's fun to talk to, even when it's not about football.
Right.
So with that, Wes, we'll call it a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com. On Twitter, he's at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford, at Packers for the team account. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll see you next time.